Well, I am still utterly amazed in this age of Google how you can virtually have any question you can think of answered in a matter of seconds on your computer screen. As I've been preparing, thinking about my trip to Kenya, I've done some more Googling and learning about Kenya. I've Googled things like, what's the temperature like in Nairobi in July? How do you reduce your chance of catching malaria? What is the political climate like right now in Kenya? Voila, you type in those questions and the answer is staring back at you from your screen in a matter of moments. Prior to Google, if you wanted questions answered, you have to like go to a library or open up an encyclopedia. What a pain it was to have to work so hard to get those questions answered. Well, long before there was Google, or long before there were encyclopedias, I Googled, by the way, and found out the encyclopedias were first published in 1768. But long before there was Google or books like that, people had to have questions answered in an old-fashioned way, to go find somebody who might know the answer. Well, in our next reading, we're going to hear some folks named Pharisees who have a question on their heart and mind. And they decide they want to get the input from a young rabbi named Jesus. A great place to go to get questions answered. Listen now for God's word to you as I share this short story captured for us in the Gospel of Luke. Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Well, on June 14th, the latest incarnation of Superman will hit the big screen as the Man of Steel arrives in a cineplex near us. We all know the basic storyline of Superman. It's about a young boy who was sent by his parents from a dying planet called Krypton. He ends up here on Earth, is raised by some earthly adoptive parents. He's given the name Clark Kent. And eventually Clark grows up and discovers his extraordinary powers, while also maintaining the sort of ordinary existence as a reporter for the Daily Planet. An extraordinary person arrives, but is kind of clothed in ordinary human attire. Well, the gospel has an even more extraordinary story to tell, only it's not a fiction, but a true story. We hear about a young child who arrives on this planet, not from a dying planet, but he's sent from the one who created all planets. And he's born to an unmarried couple in Nazareth. He's given the name Jesus. He grows up and begins to discover his extraordinary heritage, his lineage to his heavenly Father. And he grows up and becomes not a reporter, but a rabbi. But under the disguise of this rather ordinary man, God has launched an extraordinary endeavor to save this planet. This young man has arrived to help redeem all of humankind. And he does that not by leaping over tall buildings or being faster than a speeding bullet or being stronger than a locomotive. He does it by bringing with him this reality called the kingdom of God. He's brought with them this reality, this infusion, this invasion of this brand new thing called God's kingdom. And if you read through the Gospels, you find this young rabbi talking an awful lot about the kingdom of God. And yet it's a topic that 2,000 years later still often arouses within us a tremendous amount of mystery or confusion. You know, Christ himself, the Gospel of Mark, starts off his redemptive ministry with these words. He says, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Something now is in your midst that is utterly and extraordinarily wonderful and amazing. Requires you to change how you live. To get on board, to celebrate its arrival. Come on and join with me. So this kingdom of God phrase, again, is used a lot by Jesus. And as people have tried to sort of unpack what it means, I've come across some helpful definitions. A great Christian writer, a man named Dallas Willard, has said, God's own kingdom or rule is the range of His effective will, where what He wants done is done. Another author, a man named Brian McLaren, writes, the kingdom is the dream of God for creation. I took my own crack at it this week and I said, you know, the kingdom of God is the way things are meant to be. We live in a world where we know things are not how they're meant to be, where God's dream has become a nightmare for many people. Where what God wants to have done isn't really what is being done. So the kingdom is a way for God to invade the course of human history and action and to begin to write it, to correct it, to make it line up with the way that God has always intended. Now, people have been expecting God to show up and make things right for centuries prior to Christ. The expectation began about 8 centuries prior to Christ, where prophets began to speak about the Messiah showing up, setting things right for God's people. And the way they thought that would happen is kind of the way that the story of Superman was created. It was about 80 years ago that a couple of high school kids named Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster began to put a story and some pictures together. And researchers have begun to discover, for example, that perhaps the story began to arise after Jerry Siegel's father died in a robbery in his Cleveland business. Some folks broke in to rob the store. And whether or not they shot Jerry's dad or whether he died of a heart attack, the family still isn't quite sure what happened to him. But right after that event, the story of Superman begins to emerge. A man who no longer can be hurt by bullets, who comes and helps those who are in need. Well, God's people, the Hebrews, were the kind of folks who often found themselves being mistreated, bullied, abused by others on the world stage. And they began to expect God to show up like Superman. Come down from the skies. Robe is optional, or a cape, but show up in ways that overthrow the bad guys. Who happened to be called Romans at that time. Be stronger than spears. Faster than chariots. Find a way to kick the Romans out of power so that God's people can now be free and prosperous. Lord, send us a Superman. And that's the way that people think, but God didn't think that way. God had a different narrative in mind, so He doesn't send a Superman with a cape from the heaven. He sends this child who was born and raised in Nazareth, becomes this rabbi. This rabbi begins to demonstrate at times extraordinary powers. He raises the dead. He walks on water. But for most of the time, people don't have a clue who He is. But soon, His reputation spreads. People begin to come to Him wanting some direction. So these Pharisees show up. They're Jewish religious leaders. They want to know, when might we expect Superman to arrive? We've been scanning the sky for 8 centuries. When is He going to show up? Lord knows. We need Him. And Jesus shares that their expectations are a bit off. He says the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is. Get this, because the kingdom of God is already in your midst. It's already here. It's standing right before you. See, Christ is the embodiment of the kingdom. He is what God's will looks like when it is actually being done. In Christ, we see the fulfillment of God's dream for humanity. In Christ, we see what is meant to be in terms of how God has thought of us as human beings, as creations. Christ has shown up and brought with Him the reality of this kingdom of God. A movement is now afoot. Change has begun. An invasion force has started to make things right. And as people began to sense that maybe Jesus is Superman, but He's walking around as Clark Kent, He's walking around as an ordinary rabbi, but we see in Him possibility and greatness. Maybe all He needs is a bit of a push to become the guy we want Him to be. Maybe if we can get Him to become a king, take up swords, fight the Romans, start a political movement, then we'll get what we want. And over you see people trying to do that to Jesus. Come on! We're with you. Start a revolt. Take up arms. And over again He says, no, that is not the way the kingdom of God is going to advance. It's going to unfold in a way that you're not expecting, but is profoundly real. So in our first reading, we hear Him trying to explain what it's going to be like. He says, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. The kingdom is going to start really small. One guy, a rabbi with some tag-along folks, 12 not-so-bright disciples. Small little seed of movement, hardly noticed, but it's going to expand, and it's going to grow, and the power of expansion will happen because that is the nature of this kingdom that has now arrived. It's going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So watch for it. Take hope. It'll start with some stories, some healings, but eventually it's going to grow and transform this world. And so when we ponder and we look at what Christ says about the kingdom, He's saying it's already here because I'm here. But it's not fully here yet because it's going to keep growing and growing and growing. So it's here, but it's also there. It's now, but it's still then. It's in the present, but it's in the future. So we get a taste of it now, but the fulfillment, the banquet is still in the future. It's here, yes, but it's still on its way. It's a now but not quite yet component to it. And that's the place that we find our lives being lived out today, right? We are people who, because we are followers of Christ, we've been given a taste of the kingdom. We've had that door open. Why? Because Christ is here with us. He Himself says in the Gospel of Matthew, wherever two or three gather in My name, there I am in the midst of them. We've got at least two or three here this morning who've gathered in His name. Guess what? Christ is here. Which means the kingdom is in our midst. We're not just here going through ritual by ourselves. Christ is here as well. And the gospel also says that when we receive Christ in faith, that the Spirit of Christ dwells within us. That Christ dwells in our hearts through faith is what it says in Ephesians. So we have the kingdom of God through the reality of Christ already living within us. And so we have this reality of this infusion of grace and this truth and this mercy and this love that begins to infiltrate our lives. We begin to discover that there's a goodness working for us, a strength that undergirds our lives, a hope that survives calamity. We find that there is this power beyond ourselves shaping us, molding us, helping us, redeeming us. It's the kingdom breaking through into our ordinary human lives. We celebrate that infusion. We give thanks to God for the gift of His presence, for the miracle of faith, for the growth in love and compassion that's meant to accompany this growth of Christ within us and around us. Dallas Willard talks about this Christian life this way. It's a spirituality in human beings. It's not an extra or superior mode of existence. It's not a hidden stream of separate reality, a separate life running parallel to our bodily existence. It does not consist of special inward acts, even though it has an inner aspect. It is rather a relationship of our embodied selves to God that has the natural and irrepressible effect of making us alive to the kingdom of God here and now in the material world. The God's kingdom is in the midst of our ordinary daily lives, as we go to school, as we shop, as we work, as we raise our families, as we get older, as we retire, whatever we do. That becomes the location in which God's kingdom through Christ begins to break through into the normal interactions of this world in which we live. And we're the carriers of the kingdom. The folks who have been affected by faith, infused by love, committed to reconciliation. Whenever forgiveness, reconciliation, mercy, and justice happens, the kingdom has advanced. And yet we also know, if we look around our world, that things are not the way they're meant to be. The dream has not yet been fulfilled. Dr. King and God still have a dream for this world that has not yet been realized. God's will is still not being done in the way our systems run, in the way economies are driven, in the way people are treated. And so even though we have this taste of the kingdom, even though we've been given faith in Christ, even though Christ is in our midst, the world still needs the transformative power of the kingdom. And so we have hope that what is now is not what will be. That the taste we've been given will ripen into a banquet of justice for all. Why? Not because our leaders are going to get it right. Not because we're going to have a strong enough army to make things conform to our will. It's going to happen because the kingdom of God is going to keep advancing and growing, because that is its nature. That is its power. That is its promise. And that's what this table tells us, right? We come here as people of faith to be nurtured here and now, to be nourished in this very moment by Christ's presence. We believe that Christ is present through these ordinary elements to nourish us spiritually, physically, to go back out and to be representatives of the kingdom. But we also know that there's a meal in our future that's far greater than this. Christ says that people will come someday from north, south, east, and west and sit together in the kingdom of God, and there will be a heavenly banquet. where death shall be no more. Poverty shall be erased. No more tears or dying shall be there. There is a fulfillment of the promise of God that we can only get a taste of right now. But for now, the taste is enough. It sustains us. Keeps us going. Keeps us believing. Keeps us helping and serving in God's name. Christ is here. But a fulfillment of Christ's presence is still in our future. We hold on in hope, even as today we celebrate in faith the God who has come to us, who will return to us. We are today His living ambassadors of that kingdom. May we today be nourished and equipped to love and to serve, today and forevermore.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.